Well, good morning. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're going to continue our journey this morning through 1 Corinthians. We started a new series last week called A Church Transformed, and we're going to be continuing our journey through that this morning. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 9 this morning. Hope you guys had a great week. We actually were in San Diego this last week, so it was kind of hard to come back to snowy weather. Beautiful, sunny California. It's awesome. But thankful to be back with you guys this morning. I'm going to share a little bit later in our message this morning about our time and really kind of how that shaped us and transformed us and really what this week was all about for us. And so going to do that here in a few, but I want to go ahead and jump into the text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, and let's do this. Let's go ahead and stand together, and let's read this together out loud, starting in verse 4, chapter 1. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you till the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can be seated. So, last week, we began our series, A Church Transformed, and we looked at this life of a man named Paul, and we saw Paul's journey, and Paul was a transformed man. He was a changed man, and he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and he's talking a lot. As we talked about last week, he's talking a lot about identity, and he's talking a lot about the whole purpose of this book being that they would be transformed by grace. And grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. That grace is simply a gift that we receive, not of our works, not of anything that we've done, but it's a free gift of God. It's the unmerited favor of God. And in this passage that we're going to look at today, Paul is going to thank God. This is starting out in verse 4. He's thanking God for them, for the church in Corinth, and he's thanking God for what God has given them. And what's interesting in all of this is that Paul is actually going to kind of set up and he's redirecting their focus around these graces to God who gave them and Christ who made them available. And so we're going to see right off the bat here that Paul is thanking them for some very specific things. And we're going to talk about those things because it's interesting what things he lists in this list of things that he's thanking them for, because those are the very things that later on are going to lead to disunity, divisions, problems within the church. And so this isn't Paul kind of being sarcastic, like, hey, thank God for your knowledge. And he's like trying to be sarcastic with them. Paul is really writing from like a fatherly, pastoral heart, and he really is thankful for these gifts in their life. But he's understanding that it's easy for us at times to take the things that are meant to be good things in our life, these gifts that we've received from God, and we end up worshiping them rather than the giver of the gifts. And it's easy for us at times. We all do this. And what happens when we begin to worship these gifts rather than the giver of the gifts is it leads to the same problems we see in the Corinthian church. We see that it leads to pride, because we don't see this as something that we've received. We see this as something we've earned or something we've done. And he tells them even later on that they shouldn't boast as if they did anything to receive it. And then also we see how this can easily, when we begin to worship these gifts rather than the giver of the gifts, it can easily lead to divisions. And so he's going to tell them, he's thanking God always for you because of the grace of God that was given in you. And so here is Paul thanking God for this church. And I want you to know, like, for me, in our church, our local body right here, Ecclesia, how thankful I am. I'm thankful for what God is doing in each of your lives. I'm thankful for the opportunity I have to walk alongside so many of you and hear the story of how God's grace has impacted your life and how God's grace is changing you day to day to day. And what he says on there in this passage is that in every way you were enriched. And what he's talking about being enriched, he said, it's almost like coming in with a great deal of wealth. Like they've become rich. They've won the lottery. And he says, this lottery, this thing that they've received, it's not because of their works. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul's going to warn them about this. He said, what did you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? And then 2 Corinthians 4:9, we see that the reason we were given so many riches is because someone else did something on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 4:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And so these gifts we've received, they've been freely given to us by God and made available to us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's reason right there just to stop and celebrate. That right there is just reason for us to worship that everything we have, every good gift comes from the Father above. That we have reason to celebrate this morning. We have reason to worship because of all these great gifts. But how easy is it for us at times to forget who's given us those gifts? How easy for us sometimes is it to basically forget the things that God has given us? And we're forgetful people. And so three gifts that Paul's going to focus on, he's saying you were enriched in speech, in knowledge, and then he goes on and says you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. And again, like I said earlier, is these are going to be three things that are actually going to cause divisions later on. But what Paul is doing is redirecting their focus of how these gifts should be praised, how these gifts should be worshiped, not in the context of thanking God, you know, just for the fact, like, look at me, this is what I've done, this is what I've earned, but actually thanking God and going, God, you are the author of these good gifts. Everything I have, I've received by your hand. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 8, if you read through that passage, he's going to talk about this knowledge has the ability to puff up. Like this knowledge, it can be used in a way that can be very destructive. This knowledge can be used in a way that could tear down your brother or sister. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about how these spiritual gifts can actually lead to divisions. That we're like, no, my gift is the most important gift. And we can see how that can divide. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see this concerns, as Paul writes, talking about how they use their mouth. And are they using it to tear people down or build people up? And so what he's saying in this is he's reminding them why these gifts were given. Why were these gifts given? They were to point to the fact that God is a good God. And God is worthy to be praised. And he tells them, you're not lacking in any spiritual gift. Like there's times in our church that we look around and we see gaps and we go, man, like we can have a tendency to complain about things. But isn't it crazy that amongst the body, amongst the group of people that God has assembled here in this room, that we're not lacking anything? It doesn't mean that Mr. Badgery has every spiritual gift. It doesn't mean that Tori has every spiritual gift or Emily has every spiritual gift. He's saying across the body, we're not lacking in anything. And it's like it's talking about this sense of unity that we are a body and that we've been given these great gifts across this room. And so we're not lacking. And so what he's going to do is he's reminding them, he's going to move them to a point of gratitude and thanksgiving. Because here's the thing, all of these gifts have a tendency to lead to problems. All of these gifts have a tendency to lead to divisions and conflict. But he tells them that the cure for all of this is gratitude. It's a heart of thankfulness for the grace of God. It's a heart that's celebrating and remembering how God's grace has changed them and transformed them. But couldn't it be possible that this morning that we can easily get to the point that the gifts and graces that God has given us can be a point of pride? Isn't it possible for some of us this morning to think about some of the gifts and talents and abilities and resources and things that God has given us? It can be a sense that we can easily use those things against one another because we fail to recognize the giver of these gifts. And so maybe we need some space, even in our time this morning, to reflect, to remember. How often do we sit and reflect and give thanksgiving to God for what he has done and what he's doing for us? My family, we recently kind of adopted a practice that we picked up from a pastor friend of ours, and they called it Thanksgiving Thursday. And what we do with Thanksgiving Thursday, we started this at the beginning of this year, and we basically put someone on the hot seat every Thursday night as we gather around our table for dinner, and we remind them and celebrate what God is doing in their life. And so what do we see God doing in Jet's life? What do we see God doing in Amber's life that we can give thanks for this evening? And it's a powerful reminder of God's hand and provision in their life. And I'm thankful, even as my parents are moving here later this week and coming to live under our roof so we can help care for them, like we just thought about how powerful that would be every week to put my parents there and celebrate what God is doing in their life and to remind them. Because it's easy to get to a point where we just complain and we're just disappointed. But there's so many great things God is doing, yet we fail to recognize them. We forget. David Pallison, biblical counselor, said the only way we ever sin is by suppressing God, by forgetting, by tuning out his voice, switching channels and listening to other voices. When you actually remember, you actually change. In fact, remembering is the first change. And so with the spirit of remembrance and thankfulness comes transformation. With the spirit of remembrance and thankfulness comes transformation. And so what Paul is doing is he's reminding them to be thankful. And not only that, he's thanking God for them. He's reminding them of what God has done in their life. And he tells them that the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 8, he said, he will sustain you till the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think that word guiltless is important. And the word guiltless there is actually going to help shape some of our time of what we're going to do this morning. Because you have to understand when he talks about guiltless that no one can bring a charge against you. Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's good news, right? Like that's what he's celebrating, that God is going to present them guiltless. And what's interesting about that is we see like there's this process that Paul is speaking about in their life, that they're in process. And he's saying he's going to sustain you until the end, until Christ Jesus comes back and returns. And so what he's saying is, you're not, like, your practical holiness, and what we're going to see in the rest of the chapters that we read, like, they're not in a position where they're, like, righteous, but God has called them righteous. They're not in a position like, you know, when we look at their practical holiness, it doesn't match their positional holiness, that they've been made righteous, but practically they're not righteous. And it's this process, it's this progress that is going on. And Paul even talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And so Paul believes, and he's stating to them, hey, you haven't arrived. You act like you've been, have all these gifts and you're boasting in all these gifts and you're doing, you haven't arrived. You got a long ways to go. But praise be to God because he's going to present you guiltless. And like you're blameless and you're holy and you're righteous and all these things. And again, he's just reminding them over and over and over again of that identity and the grace of God in their lives. And he's calling them to a time of thanksgiving and celebration of what God has done. And so this morning, we thought it was timely for us to do just that. And the reason why I talk about being guiltless and I talk about that positional holiness that God has given us, it's going to be key for you to be willing to share this morning. And really, you're preaching the sermon. Some people told me I preached too long last week, so we're giving you a shot at it. See how you do. And so this morning, we're going to give a time of thanksgiving as a church, that we're going to celebrate the graces of God in our lives, that we're going to ask, how have you seen the grace of God in your life personally? In the last week, in the last month, in the last 5 years, 10 years, how have you seen the grace of God in your life? And we're going to let you preach the sermon. And we're going to celebrate God, because when we do this, when we celebrate these things, we're reminded of who the author of these good gifts is and where these good gifts come from. Psalm 77 says this, 11 through 12, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Paul Tripp wrote this, what is the thing we all tend to do? We forget the generosity of God. In the busyness and self-centeredness of our life, we forget how much we've been blessed by grace. The fact that he blesses us when we deserve nothing except for wrath and punishment fades from our memories like a song whose lyrics we once knew but cannot recall. Every morning, God's generosity greets us in at least a dozen ways, but we barely recognize it as we frenetically prepare for our day. When we lay our exhausted heads down at night, we often fail to look back on the many gifts that have dripped from God's hands into our little lives. When you forget the generosity of God, you exist with a sense of entitlement and have a constantly growing list of demands. Ingratitude and disappointment begin to dominate your heart and shape your life. And people like, that's not what I want to grip my life. I don't want ingratitude and disappointment to dominate my heart. And I also don't want it for you. And so I, as one of your pastors here at Ecclesia, want to give thanks to God for who he is and what he's doing in your life. And we want to celebrate that this morning. And I believe that is exactly what Paul is doing with the Corinthian church, is that he's leading them to a point of remembrance. He's leading them to a point of celebrating the gifts of God and the graces of God in their life. This morning, I'm going to invite you guys to share. And I want you to know that, let me just set the bar here, like no one in this room, we're like guiltless. In Christ, guiltless. In Christ, same playing field. And we can easily get up and like, man, I don't want to get up. I'm a little nervous. I'm going to drop the ball. I'm going to say something stupid. Hey, no one here is like needs to step up and try to be impressive. Like, your impressiveness, is that a word? We'll go with it. If it's not, somebody can tell me later. I'm setting the bar low, okay? Fails to compare to the gloriousness of who Jesus is.